This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. First of a new year and first of the offseason. I'm Brian Sexton, joined by my broadcast partner, Jeff Lagerman. Nice to have you back, Big Ketchman.
Thank you very much.
We missed you. We missed you on Sundays. We missed you on Mondays. It's nice to see your smiling face.
Thanks. I missed it a lot.
Remind us not to take each other for granted. And you either over there, Joe Fortunato.
It's not the off season. It's the out of season.
Out of season. Yeah. Gene's been correcting me for a month. Sorry, Gene, if you're listening, it's the out of season. At least it is for the players. For Gene and his crew, it's about the season. Our phone number this evening for you to join us, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. If you are listening on the internet or across the broadcast region, this programming note, after the news at the bottom of the hour, Carl Cannon will join us, the former publisher of the Florida Times-Union, who is leading the charge with Touchdown Jacksonville. We'll talk about an effort called Team Teal, which they're going to unveil here at the stadium next Tuesday.
Right here at the Bud Zone.
Absolutely, in the Bud Zone. So that should bring some people out for sure.
Next Tuesday?
Tuesday
evening. That is?
Yep, in the Bud Zone. So Carl Cannon will join us. We'll talk Team Teal, Revive the Pride, the whole nine yards. And then, of course, the rest of the program this evening is yours. One more programming note. We're 2 hours tonight, and we're 2 hours next Wednesday night, and then we're back to the one-hour version. So there you have it. What's on your mind this evening, gentlemen?
Looking forward to the out of season, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's coming fast.
Yeah, it's, you know, and this obviously showed where we kind of, I guess you could say, are radio version of season and review, to where we can throw grades out, comments, et cetera, on what this team did this year. But, you know, certainly a disappointing end, I guess you could say. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even say that.
Well,
yeah,
it's disappointing,
4 games.
It's disappointing because you're in the catbird seat and, you know, you don't make another move. And yeah, that's disappointing. But you have to go back to what logic told you in August. See, that's the thing for me. I never at any time allowed myself to have an illusion about this team. At the very best, in my opinion, you could have crowned yourself playoff team. Well, what did that do for the Miami Dolphins last year? It just got him a hammer job against the Ravens. And a lower position in the draft, and it sure didn't help. That sure didn't help them this year either. So, you know, I think we need to control our disappointment because I don't think much was lost, to be honest with you.
No, but you would have rather have done it in the fashion in which the Houston Texans did. In other words, they had a chance, they got a win. And things didn't fall into place.
You mean the Houston Texans that you beat twice?
That's right.
Okay.
That had the losing streak in November and not December.
That had a kicker who blew every big kick he faced and literally kicked them out of the postseason. You can look at so many teams and look at their disappointment. The Tennessee Titans, 0-6. The Pittsburgh Steelers, 5 losses in a row. I mean, what do you think it's like for them? They're sitting at 9-7, and they're out of the playoffs, and some Humpty Dumpty Jets team is in. You know, why? Well, because you didn't beat so-and-so on a certain day in a given weekend that was an AFC team, and it went to a tiebreaker, which you would have owned anyhow if you hadn't had 3 teams in, if you'd only had 2. You know, that kind of crazy stuff. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is you lost 5 in a row, and all you had to do was win in one of them, and you were in. You know, you always have to go back, and you have to look at it from a head-first stamp perspective. What did I have to do to get in? What this team needed to do to get in was win 2 of the 4 at the end of the season. Am I correct?
You're right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, let's remember this. When the season began, we all agreed that was a front-loaded and back-loaded schedule that was soft in the middle. They lost the first two, lost the last four, dominated the middle. We were right.
3-5-5. I love it when we're right. 3-5-5 NFL
is,
one.
Is that accurate?
No, you're right. In fact, I was telling someone the other day, if you had moved the schedule around and put some of these games at the end in the middle, the Jaguars might not have been in a position to qualify for a playoff
at the end. But we didn't think that Cleveland and Miami were tough at the end.
No, we didn't.
No.
Miami was coming off a playoff year.
Yeah,
so.
But we didn't really...
We didn't buy into it. That's
no, we
right.
didn't buy into that.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
So we kind of stayed away from that.
We saw Cleveland as soft at the end, and of course they won four or five at the end.
Four in a row
at the end. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here with you a little bit. You can clearly see there's a little bit of a division between the way Jeff is thinking and I'm thinking. You can look at it from the high road standpoint. Gee, if you had just won a couple at the end. Or you could look at it this way. If Steve Spagnuolo runs one more play with 8 seconds left on the clock, you lost at home to the worst team in the league. So, I mean, I think we got to keep it in perspective here. This was not a real good team this year.
No. My perspective is that. It's just that you always, when you have a team, a revamped roster, and that's what we saw, you want to see struggles early, starting to be competitive, starting to play well, playing their best at the end. I mean that's just, you know, common sense thinking. Is you want to see the progression. And I think the only disappointing thing about this season, in my mind, is that progression didn't happen in the way in which you expected it to happen. But clearly, I'm with your line of thinking. You know, at the beginning of the year, if you said, hey, 7-9, I'd say that was an okay year. That was, you know, not a bad year, not a great year, but a good year. But the positive out of all of this is that there was a tremendous amount of youth added to this team, and this youth got valuable experience. And it wasn't just experience that was given to them. I mean, this team's got some good young football players. I mean, that's the positive that I take out of this year.
And the negative is
the progression.
Just can't get over that fact that at the end of the year when the games got biggest, you know, they kind of shrunk.
But, you know, you showed on All Access on Monday night that they were playing with Chris Harrington and Jeremy Navarre at defensive end.
They didn't do so good.
Come on.
Cleveland's rushing attack really had success on the perimeter of things. And then that obviously was the number one weakness that they had as a football team all year.
And they were rushing Tom Brady with that combination and with Derek Cox and Tyron Brackenridge and William Middleton. And
for the future going forward, obviously, the next step taken for this year's draft class is going to be extremely important. You don't want to have this draft class, which is going to appears to have a large number of contributors. You do not want to see sophomore slumps. Nope. You want to see another really good draft class come in that can contribute.
Yeah.
And maybe most importantly, you need to see that third-year class emerge.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought
something. You know what I'm getting to here?
Yeah, I know. I
Harvey
know
Gross.
Mean.
That's right.
That's right. The going back to. But you touched on something that I want to touch on a little more. I think it's important that we understand that the draft class that this team had this year, that's not normal.
No, it's that's not anywhere near normal.
That's not the rule. That's the exception. Don't think you're going to get another one of those. And I think a lot of people just have it in their mind, oh, Gene Smith's going to turn these out now. You know, every year we're going to get 6 and 7 players in the starting lineup. No. You know, you may not see that class come along for several more years. This was a special crop.
Very special.
Best draft in Jaguars history. Not even close.
Absolutely.
Not even close.
96 was very good.
If you evaluated this draft class and compared it to others after 1 year, yes.
Okay, let me put it this way.
It's too early to say that.
Michael Cheever doesn't get hurt, 96 is probably as good or better.
Well, yeah, Tony Brackens, absolutely.
Beasley.
Right. Hardy. Reggie Barlow gave you some big returns.
Right. Yeah.
But after this point, after 1 year,
you would say,
yes, this is the best draft class they've had.
All right, we're due for a break. We'll take it now. Don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour after news, Carl Cannon joins us to talk about Team Teal and Touchdown Jacksonville. All that and more as we roll along here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690, also on 106.5 on the FM dial, News Talk Radio WOKV. Sexton Lagerman, yes, Mr. Ketchman is with us, Joe Fortunato also. And as I mentioned at the bottom of the hour after news, Carl Cannon joins us to talk about something called Team Teal, so stay tuned for that. Phone number this evening, 355-NFL1, and everything is fair game with respect to this football team. Everyone wants to talk about the draft.
Well, you can't do that. You just can't do that.
No,
way too early for
that. I know. But can you talk about free agency either? I mean, isn't that a moot point this year?
Yeah, well, here's what I can tell you about free agency. First, I'll start with the draft. Here's what I can tell you about the draft. The combine begins February the 24th and ends March 2nd. We can't know. You can't know anything until then. I mean, that's when they put them to the test, and that's when they start getting their boards, you know, finalized or
set up.
Yeah, and so forget it. We can talk generally. If you want to talk about this guy or that guy, we can do that. But
well, put it in this term. We talked shortly today with Gene Smith. They're not even starting to even look at that yet. I mean,
no.
General managers and people of that nature, I mean, they're evaluating their teams right now.
We don't know who the junior eligibles are.
Yeah, I mean, there's still so much to happen to get ready to that point in free agency. You know, I think even free agency now, you've got to wait until you get to really almost the week before because you don't know who's going to get there.
Free agency is dead. It's absolutely dead, and here's why. This year, in an uncapped year, the rules for free agents as regarding unrestricted and restricted free agents change. Restricted free agents are going to be years 4 through 6. So an unrestricted free agent has to have had 6 years in the league before he becomes unrestricted. What's the unrestricted pool going to look like? It's going to be a bunch of old, over-the-hill guys. It's going to be injured guys. It's going to be old guys. It's going to be guys hanging on. You're going to have a whole bunch of Marcellus Wileys is what you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I mean that doesn't fit the profile. I mean you're going to get a patch here and a patch there. The restricted free agents will be more attractive, but they will be far more protected.
I think they're going to be more protected maybe than they ever have,
been.
Especially with the year coming up.
So
you know what I'm talking about
there. Yes, exactly, with a work stoppage possibility coming up. So what you're gonna get in free agency this year, and I don't mean this with any kind of disrespect, Sean, but you're going to get a lot of Sean Considines. Now, in other words, guys who can play on your roster, but they're not going to be difference makers.
No, and you know what, though? Getting those type of players is not a bad thing.
No, it's not.
I mean, for a team like this, I mean, where you can get guys that can fill a role, that's okay. Because this team needs to still have some roles filled.
But I'm getting a lot of questions. What about Julius Peppers? Forget about it. Aaron Kampman. Well, he's on an ACL. He's coming off an ACL. He's over 30 years of age. Don't go there. Don't reach in free agency. Go back to what gave this team their best one-year talent haul in their history this past year, which was a solid draft class, a stupendous combing of the waiver wire.
Look at the teams in the playoffs right now. How many of them have been lights out, actively involved the first week of free agency?
Philadelphia did Asante Samuel, but you see, they went big time. But they didn't do much of it. He's it. I mean, they went out and they got the big time guy, but they didn't do a whole bunch on Mike Washington has.
Right. Okay. We see where that got Washington nowhere.
When you do as well in the draft and you do as well with your salary cap management as the Eagles do, you can take a swing for the fence every once in a while at an Asante Samuel because he's no risk. He's quality. There's no strikeout potential on this.
I'm looking at the teams around the league. Dallas Cowboys didn't really participate much in it this past year. Did they go out and sign a big-time free agent? No.
Is Miles Austin a big-time free agent?
They stuck with a Keith Brooking type. A Keith Brooking type who was, you know, a marginally priced player,
right,
and just plugged him in. You look at the Chicago Bears, they went and swung a trade for a franchise quarterback.
So
where'd that get them?
So what round was Miles Austin drafted in?
He was undrafted.
That's right. He was drafted in no round.
Right.
Okay. Tony Romo was drafted in what round?
He was undrafted.
No round. So their hot passing combination is an undrafted free agent to an undrafted free agent. Yeah, let's go out and sign the real expensive over-the-hill guy.
355-NFL-1. Let's squeeze a couple of calls in here before news at the bottom of the hour. And Carl Cannon has joined us, and we will talk with him in about 10 minutes. Let's grab Mike in Ponte Vedra. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I enjoy your show. I just had a question. Was disappointed with the Jaguars' last four games. It seemed that other than the Colts game, they didn't really play with the intensity of a team that had a must-win. And I wanted to ask, is it just that we don't have the talent to match up with the better teams? Do you think it's player leadership, coaching leadership, or other factors that they don't seem to sometimes play with the intensity you see some of the other teams play with when they're a must-win for the playoffs?
The answer is, in my opinion, they lack talent.
And I would concur with that. They need more talent. You know, do I think the coaching job could be better? Absolutely. Because I think if you don't say that, if you don't believe that you can get better in all areas, then where are you at?
Mm-hmm.
I think they can be better in coaching. I think they can be better in personnel. But, you know, the one thing that I will say, and you, hey, you're disappointed just like I am, Mike, in the last four games. But don't let those four games cloud what the perspective really ought to be.
Absolutely.
And the perspective really ought to be, as you alluded to, Vic, and I'm with you, okay? I still have the disappointment of the final four games. But I am encouraged because the draft class and the youth of this team clearly has talent.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the lifeblood, and we've said it many times. The draft and the talent that you get in is the lifeblood of a franchise, and this team got some.
And it's also, there's nothing wrong with feeling blessed, feeling fortunate. We were fortunate this year that we were allowed to experience December. We were fortunate that we were allowed to have some excitement. I got to tell you, I see a lot of wins and a lot of narrow wins against some really just, I know, in many cases, bad teams. I think the schedule was favorable enough to allow us to have December. With a tougher schedule, there's no December.
Well, you got two quality wins, it appears, with Houston, who finished 9-7.
Yes.
They were a pretty good team that didn't play very well all season long, right?
Well, you know.
Well, they got their quarterback hurt, too, in that game.
That's right, and they fumbled into the end zone, and then they threw some wacky pass, and the quarterback got hurt. So, I mean, you know.
Well, if you're looking for quality wins, it would be the Jets and the Texans.
Yeah, there's no question.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The signature moment of this season was Maurice Jones-Drew's kneel down or fall down on a 1-yard line in New York.
You know what I think the signature moment is for this team?
Reggie Nelson trying to punch the ball out?
No.
Reggie Nelson getting beat deep down the field?
It happened during that game. But the signature moment for this franchise is what we saw Thursday night. And that needs to be the signature moment for this franchise going forward. And I'm talking about people in the seats. Okay, and people are talking about how that energy was. And people are talking, whoa, what is great. You know, the energy of the events that they scheduled around. Hey, wait a minute now. The reason that was so cool was because people were here. It became an event because people were here.
Pretty good radio guy. That was a great seg.
Oh, I was thinking.
But to me, that's the moment of the year.
Well,
because you know when's the last time you felt that?
2 years ago when the Raiders were here after the Steelers game in Pittsburgh and everyone was going nuts before
Christmas.
Wouldn't
you think, Vic?
I'm with you.
All right.
The number one issue of this whole season was blackouts.
Right.
I don't care. Forget about what was done on the field. It's what was happening in the stands that was the number one issue of this team.
All right, still, it was a great seg to the bottom of the hour there, Loggy, because we're talking with Carl Cannon after news about touchdown Jacksonville and revive the pride. That after news on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
And welcome back. Second half hour of Jaguars This Week, now live from the WOKV Jaguars Central Studios inside Jacksonville Stadium. Phone number this evening for you to join us is 355-NFL-1, but hold on to that now, because for the next half hour, we're going to talk about Touchdown Jacksonville and the effort to revive the pride. Carl Cannon, the former publisher of the Florida Times-Union, joins us. Carl, nice to see you.
Good to see you, Brian.
Safe to say you're retired? This does not look like a retirement effort.
No, it's not, but I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Give us just a sense, before we talk about what you're going to do on Tuesday, of what it took to make that game on the 17th everything that Loggs explained it was?
Well, it was really a, as Jeff said, it was a very special night. And it took a lot. In the last month before that game was when Touchdown Jacksonville was actually formed. We got a lot of volunteer effort, a lot of media support, and as a result of that and the response from the general public, we had a great turnout, a great night, and a great football game, I might add. It was really special and shows a type of football that we can expect to see in the future here.
Carl, what made you want to get involved in this? I mean, personally, I mean, obviously this is, you know, you're semi-retired. This is taken out of your time. Why?
Well, I've kind of been involved from the start, as you know, and, and I got involved with that original effort. And Mayor Payton called and pulled a group together of community leaders, and I went to that meeting. And after that, he asked me if I would head up the committee, and I agreed to do that.
It's got to mean, I mean, to me, I mean, this is the signature identity of this community. I mean, I've been here since this team came about. I mean, when people talk about Jacksonville, I mean, besides the golf, the beach is a wonderful place to live. The first thing that people identify with Jacksonville, is the Jaguars. I mean, the importance of this football team to the community is immense.
It really is. And there were prior to 1993, when that effort first happened, people kept saying, we need something that we can really call our own, some signature something in town. And it turned out to be the Jaguars, which was really bigger than anybody would have really ever hoped for at that time. And it has become larger than life, and that's why I am so concerned about the future of the Jaguars and many, many other people as well.
When I talked to you, Carl, at that announcement on the week of the Colts game, early in the week, right out in front of the stadium here, you and Mayor Payton and others announced that the game would not be blacked out. It would be shown on local television, that the General Bowl seating was sold out, and there was this wonderful gush of good feeling about the Jaguars and about Jacksonville again. And you said then that this can't be a one-time thing, that this has to be now something that is a springboard to the really big event, which was not getting that game on TV, but which is going to be selling season tickets this year. So if we're talking segues, there's one for you. Talk about the real movement now, the thing that is most important, which is and when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen.
Well, Vic, in that 3 or 4 weeks that we had to work on it prior to Indianapolis, we decided to make that game the game that we would really put our effort on in the short term. And we were hoping to lift the blackout. We were hoping to sell out the stadium. We really didn't know what the response was going to be. And as it turned out, it was terrific. The blackout was lifted and the stadium was largely filled. So that was the good part. But we knew that was just step one. But it was important to establish or reestablish that pride again. And we did that in that game. I think everyone felt good about that game. But we knew that we would begin again shortly after the first of the year. And so next week we will launch into what will be the long-term selling plan.
What is the long-term selling plan?
Well, it's obviously to attempt to put back the number of fans that were lost last year. So that number is, for us, for our group, is 10 to 12,000 seats that we will hope to sell in the next 6 months or so.
Will you be calling my house? Do you have a database? Do you have a sales force?
Well, we have it's going to be viral, we believe. It's already become that.
What do you mean by viral?
Well, relationship to relationship, using the new media, using Facebook or using Twitter. We've had terrific support from the media itself, the general media, radio, television, newspapers, and others. And so it will be that. But we kind of drafted Tony Boselli to be our commissioner of what is called Team Teal. And what that will be...
You know, you could have had a better-looking guy. If you wanted a former player, Loggs would have done it for you.
Tony's way better looking than me.
Yeah, just ask him.
It's his property. Hey, the first draft pick in franchise history, first draft pick of Team Teal.
And I'll tell you, when we approached him and asked him to do this, he said yes immediately. He didn't even think about it. So
yeah, he's got a big passion for this.
He is, really has a passion for it. He's been a great leader, and he's going to be. So, Vic, to answer your question, we're going to ask people to join Tony Boselli and join his team and be team captains or individual ticket buyers or sellers to friends. Some large companies, we're going to ask them to break down into smaller groups and have teams of their own. So it will be a team effort.
Kind of like your own little Amway.
Kind of, yeah.
There's a multi-level approach to this because what you're doing is you're asking Jeff to become a team leader and invite friends, family, people that he does his hunting and fishing show with who will then in turn do the same.
That's exactly right.
And when you do, you're being paid in points for your effort.
The Jaguars have been very gracious to offer a terrific amount of prizes everywhere from just simply shirts or hats, all the way to the opportunity to maybe sit in Wayne Weaver's special box at a game, Super Bowl tickets, Pro Bowl tickets. So there'll be an opportunity for everyone that's involved in one of the teams to get a shot at that.
So with Team Teal, the kickoff is Tuesday.
At
the Bud Zone?
At the Bud Zone at 6 o'clock.
Okay, and this is open to the public?
This is open to the public.
And have you guys put together a website that's going to detail the information of how people can get involved with this Team Teal?
Right. The thing you can do today would be to go to myteamteal.com and register, or just come to the meeting on Tuesday at 6 o'clock and you'll get all the information that you need. And then following that, the website will have a lot more information on it in the next week.
What did you think, Carl, when you turned on the TV and you heard the local news that this outfit from Los Angeles was coming after us? They had targeted targeted the Jaguars. What kind of feeling did that give you when you heard it the first time?
Well, not a good feeling, certainly. We don't believe that the Jaguars are going to leave. I know that they don't want to leave. But if the community doesn't support the team, and Wayne Weaver has said this, that he'll have no choice. So the opportunity is ours now to get people to buy tickets. We know that a certain number of the people in our city cannot afford football tickets, and that's a fact. And we wouldn't ask anybody to buy football tickets if they can't afford to do it. But we also know that there's a large percentage of the population that are making choices as to what to do with their dollars, and their entertainment dollars especially. So we believe those people, and there's a lot of them, that could make that choice. They could still enjoy NFL football in Jacksonville in the future, and at the same time make sure that we're keeping the team here.
We need to take a break. Before we do, just along those lines, there are some changes for 2010. There are a couple of sections in the upper deck that have reduced the seats from 390 to 300, from 580 to 480.
You're talking
clubs.
Price points.
Prices. So in order to make it more affordable, some ticket prices have gone down. And if folks want to get involved on a three-year commitment, then it freezes the price for 3 years. So, you know, once again, we've talked about the Jaguars over the years putting a lot of different packages together, ways for people to get into the stadium. One of the things that you'll see if you're here for the Team Teal night next Tuesday is just how easy the Jaguars are trying to make it for you to join Team Teal and be in the stadium in 2010. More to come with Carl Cannon.
$2 beers, too, Tuesday night.
Tuesday night?
That's what I heard.
That's right. You would hear that.
$2 beer.
Who's that man behind the curtain giving you the information? We'll take a break and return after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along. Sexton, Lagerman, Ketchman, and Carl Cannon is joining us this evening to talk a little bit about Team Teal. By the way, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock in the Bud Zone. Mr. Weaver will speak, Gene Smith, Tony Buscelli, Mayor Payton will be there, all to help kick off this effort. We're on the My Team Teal website right now. There's a big picture of Tony Buscelli there. You can sign up. And I'm told there's 400 people who have already signed up, and only a quarter of those are current season ticket holders. So
it's a good number.
You've got some momentum, and this is really the grassroots of the grassroots grassroots stage.
That's right.
I mean, it hasn't really got a whole lot of momentum yet.
And that's what we had hoped for. And with a relatively short amount of time to get this promoted. So it's been good.
355-NFL-1. We've got Mr. Cannon with us for another 8 minutes or so. So if you'd like to join us, give us a quick call. We'll go out to the beach and grab Michael. Michael, welcome to Jaguars
Hey.
This week.
How are you doing?
Good.
I've got some concrete ideas for you. Okay? When I go to a Jaguar game, I notice that if I'm trying to figure out the parking situation and I'm not a regular fan goer, which I am, but, I mean, I've gone with people who are not, they have no idea where to park. They have no idea where to park, how to get there, which lanes are going to be, which turns. Y'all need to coordinate with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office and find out exactly what routes are available, parking for which area, and have it on the Internet.
Okay.
Because I think it discourages people when they go down there and they don't have a parking pass and they have no idea where they're going.
The one good thing, Michael, is that earlier we had a conversation with Bill Prescott with the Jaguars, and we asked him about specific concerns that fans may be having, such as yours right there. And he said that they are taking a very proactive approach in trying to address all of these concerns. And you can go to the Jaguars.com website and find out parking and traffic information there if you haven't found it already. It's there.
Yeah, and Bill just put that up like 2 seconds ago. So you want to talk about speed?
It's there.
They answer the questions right away. Bang.
But I will say this, Michael. I mean, we talked with Bill. We asked him questions about past season ticket holder concerns, concession concerns. And he said the one thing that they have definitely looked at in the last couple of years is addressing those concerns to make it a more pleasurable experience.
Well, they put in 400 of those poles with the X's on it and arrows.
Right.
So here's my advice, Bill. When you see those red X's, don't go there.
You know, we should say the NFL did a study last year. They dealt with everything from concessions all the way through the game day experience and traffic flow. And I think this was one of the top six in terms of traffic flow. It was number one? Number one in the league in terms of moving people in and out. So JSO,
I'd like to drop Bill in Foxborough some night.
give me Michael out at the beach.
Oh, man.
Number one in the league in terms of traffic flow, Michael. So your complaint is certainly registered. Now you know to go to Jaguars.com.
Foxborough is you're right.
It's a nightmare.
Oh.
Well, there's only one road in and out. So.
And it's pretty much through residential neighborhoods. It's unbelievable.
Yep. So you're complaining, but you got it good, pal. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Do we want to keep going with this?
Yeah, look, Carl get some of the wonderful calls.
Okay. Well, let's try Dave in St. Augustine, who's a longtime listener. Hello, Dave.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. You all know I'm a season ticket holder.
All right.
And as a season ticket holder, I know that, and without throwing mud, for the most part, it's financial reasons why people, you know, don't have season tickets. They can't afford it. The best thing the Jaguars have going for them is that e-layaway program, because it really does make it very simple to afford tickets on your own terms. I mean, you could basically buy them now and pay for them till the beginning of the season, however you want to.
Well,
that program needs to be more visible.
Well,
because if it comes down to what's that?
What does that mean, visible?
Well, if you didn't already,
I get all the emails. I get everything. I know what's going on, but the average shopper might not know about it. That thing needs to be on the
front
page of the website.
Brian?
You're about to hear a whole lot more about it. Here's the deal: if someone goes and gets a season ticket or tickets on a 3-year season ticket commitment, not only does it freeze the price for 3 years, like I mentioned earlier, and there is no security deposit like there was at one point in time, but they can pay in 30 equal installments. So if someone goes and gets one of those $390 season tickets, it's going to be $39 a month.
Nice math.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, $39
a month. 30 installments.
Yeah, 30 installments.
No interest.
Could it be any easier than that?
It's unbelievable.
Right. So, Dave, we know you're a season ticket holder. Here's the deal. You need to be here Tuesday so that you can be a team captain, right? You're the team captain. Now you go and you
can help make spread the word.
You make this more visible with your friends and relatives and neighbors down in St. Augustine, all right?
Consider it done. Go Jaguars.
I have no doubt. We'll see you Tuesday night, 6 o'clock in the Bud Zone.
Some of these kids buy tennis shoes that cost more than $390.
Oh, yeah.
Bring up Tony.
All right.
He likes this Team Teal project.
Tony is out at the beach. Hello, Tony. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And I just want to recognize the team there trying to drum up some support for the Jaguars. We love the Jaguars. I've been a season ticket holder since 2000. I had a suggestion. The visitors' club seats, you know, that's what looks so bad on camera. The visitor side club seats are always empty. The home side club seats are, in my opinion, always a lot more full. Why don't we reduce the price maybe on the visitor side club seats and even, you know, close a couple more sections on top where it looks all full, build up a waiting list, and start opening back up slowly the upper part of the stadium.
Do you want me to tell you why? Because if I'm on the other home side, I want to get on the visitor side. It's the same seat. You can't expect somebody on the home side to pay twice as much as somebody's paying on the other side for the same seat.
Well, let me say this, Tony. I mean, the most important seat to be sold is the general bowl.
Right. If you get those seats sold, you remember what the Jaguars did a couple years ago with the Terrace Suite? You know, they came up with a new concept. They'll do something over there in the East Club, but they first have to focus on the primary seat.
Is that true? Is that an accurate statement that it's more important to sell the general bowl seats than... Okay. It's the general bowl seats, of course, that get the game on TV. But the real revenue seats are the club seats. And let's not forget
let's
now...
Let's take baby steps
this is,
here,
oh, okay, but let's not forget this is about making money, not finding ways to let you in for free.
Point well taken. And that'll bring us to the top of the hour. Carl, Tuesday night, will you be there?
Yes,
okay,
I will be.
Hey, Carl, let me just say this. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, we all
thank you.
Because I know that this is, you know, pro bono stuff, you know, and you're doing it because you realize the importance of the team and the identity of this team to this community. And from my heart, I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Jeff. And there are a lot of other people working very hard right now, so we thank them as well.
All right.
No, nobody owes him more than I do, and he knows why. He was my boss.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. We appreciate you jumping in, and this will certainly be a success.
Great. Thank you.
That's Carl Cannon, and we will take a break. News is next on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Hour number two of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Big thanks to Carl Cannon for spending a half hour of his evening with us. Don't forget Team Teal, Tuesday, 6 o'clock in the Bud Zone. Learn all about the Jaguars' plan with you to get this place filled up in 2010. All right. Phone lines were lit up. One lady stayed through. Susan, out west in McClenny. Hello, Susan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, several issues, and you might not agree with me, but I hope you'll listen to all of them.
We might.
And I have several points I'd like to cover. Coaching, team spirit, the pocket.
Vic will handle the team spirit thing.
Ticket price and concessions.
Okay.
And first of all, I am a Jacksonville native. I'm born and raised here. And so, yes, when the Jaguars came to Jacksonville, it was a big deal. It still is a big deal. But when they first came here, we all felt like they were our team, and that feeling has kind of changed. Now we feel like it's Wayne's team. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but we've got to figure out a way to return the team to the people, and that's us. When we first bought our tickets, the concession prices were a certain price. I don't remember what they were. You know, the shuttle prices were a certain price. Parking was a certain price. And then the next year, it seems like everything doubled. And that was totally unfair because you're locked into a three-year contract. We paid over $4,000 for our tickets. And, you know, it just felt like, wait a minute, you know, bait and switch. Okay, moving on.
Yes. How about let's do it this way. You tell us what you want.
I think concession prices are totally out of control. I think when somebody says, you know, ticket prices are $500, you're basically paying a $50 cover charge for entertainment. You're going in and watching a great team play, and then you have to go and pay $7 for a beer, which I can get a six-pack or a 12-pack, which I'm not really a big beer drinker, but I'm just saying prices. You know, I think that's just out of control.
How much is a beer? How much does a beer cost at the zoo?
I don't know. I don't buy beer at the zoo.
Can't drink at the zoo?
No, I can't have a beer.
I don't buy beer at the zoo. Okay, but you get my point. That's why no one goes to the zoo. $7 for a beer is too much. Okay, now the other thing I would like to say.
You just solved someone else's marketing problem.
The other thing I would like to say is, this is Jacksonville, Florida. We're not in California. We're not anywhere else. This is our team, our town, our marketing, and we need to relate it to us.
But here's the problem, Susan. Here's the problem. This is the National Football League. This is not Jacksonville Football League. If you want to play with the big boys, then you got to charge big boy prices.
Okay. But my next point. Tony Boselli, I just heard in your conversation, is going to be doing heading up ticket sales on this new Save Jacksonville team, whatever it was. I can't remember. But listen, when Tony was playing, nobody touched Mark Brunell. Tony was awesome. Mark Brunell was awesome. Mark Brunell's not here, and I understand that. I think Tony could help the team a lot by telling those guys how to provide David a pocket. He has absolutely no protection. David Garrard would be a much better quarterback if he had time to think about something other than, how am I going to save my head?
Susan.
Yes.
You have covered a lot of area.
I know.
We're talking about the new health care bill?
No. I have another thing to talk about. I think Jack Del Rio is probably a very nice guy. Mm-hmm. So nice, perhaps he's too nice. I would like to see a little bit of Bill Cowher on the sideline from time to time. When they do something stupid, he should not worry about the camera being on his face. He knows that's where it's going to be. He should just let those feelings out and blast them when it's appropriate.
I feel like a little like Dr. Phil. Do you feel better, Susan?
Well, it's frustrating.
So in other words, don't
tiptoeing around all these issues.
So in other words, don't be real. Don't be who you are. Put on an act.
Susan,
that'll work. The players won't see through
Susan,
that.
Susan, the one thing I love really about nice your comments here. Is that you can tell you got passion. You know,
that's
what sports is all about. Is being is having passion. Nothing wrong with that, Vic.
It's okay, I guess.
Vic, you just
and it's like. And here's another thing that's a little bit of a dig, but I can't help it. I'm not the only person that says it. Mm-hmm. Before David got his contract, mm-hmm. I think he was much more precise. How's that? Maybe he needs to zero in on closing the face of that tennis racket when he nails a big, bad hit.
All right,
you know,
Susan.
Instead of sailing over the guy's head, bring your hand down. Finish the swing.
Have you been recording this call, Joe? Good.
Thank you, Susan.
It's going to go down as one of our all-time favorites. Susan from McClenny. Were you related to her?
No.
Okay.
No. Hey, I don't have any problem with people having opinions on a team.
You're right.
Because to me, that means people have passion. And when they have a thought about a certain thing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But, hey, Vic, I look at you the same way you're looking at me many times when I hear things come out of your mouth.
All right. You should see the look on Vic's face. It's too bad this isn't television.
Half of that stuff was nuts. Let's go to another caller.
355-NFL1. Gene is in Ocean Way. Hello, Gene. Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Good evening, fellas. How are y'all?
Good.
Hey, Jeff, I'd like, you know, we're fixing to go through football withdrawal again, mm-hmm. just like we always do. And, you know, I know y'all's show is going to cut back from 2 hours to 1 hour on Wednesdays again, and I'm going to be a little upset about that, but that's what it is. But I'd like for y'all, and maybe not y'all, maybe talk to Carl Cannon or something. But Jennifer Cannellino used to have a show every once in a while about a Jaguar player or a Jaguar theme or something like that. And I think it's important to keep the Jaguars up front for people to see other than us football fans that, you know, been coming for 15 years. You know what I'm saying?
She did a great job, and it was a Saturday evening show, and it was Jaguars Magazine.
There have been a number of permutations of what that show was. But just a couple years ago, there was a Jaguar Saturday evening show. It was a magazine-style show.
Yeah, and she did a great job, and Gene, you're right, but it really kind of took a look at the Jaguars from an off-the-field perspective, and it was wonderful. And the one thing I will say is that some of those elements have been put into the Sunday morning Jack Del Rio show as far as seeing players involved into the community. So there are some elements that continue, but obviously what Jennifer did was a little bit different than, you know, the football meat and potatoes.
Now, do you have a little meat and potatoes for us?
Yeah, and, well, that's it. But, I mean, you know, during this time when there's no football, if you could continue some kind of show on – so the fans can fans like me that look at Vic's website, you know, weekly, daily, you know, and listen to all your radio shows, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, you know, pretty soon there's going to be no football again.
Well, you hear that, Joe Fortunato? No, we need more radio programs.
He's right.
It's more work for you guys.
He's
but,
right.
You know, just keep it out in front of the public because they're going to find something else to do pretty soon, and they're going to forget about
that. You hear that? We need more radio
programs. Well, here's a classic example of what he's saying. This past Monday was the final Jaguars Monday show. It's gone until August or whatever. All right, so that's 1 hour a week gone. We're going to cut back from 2 hours to 1 hour in a week or two.
And then the Jack Del Rio show ends on the 19th.
Okay, which means that, help me out here, that's
we're going from
75% of our weekly program is going to evaporate. Not counting game day. Not counting game day. 75% of the weekly talk is going to evaporate. I think it's a problem.
What do we need to do?
I think we need to stay on the air because I think the off season has become every bit as exciting as the in season.
I agree. Until June.
When we hit the dead zone,
then it's dead.
In late June, it's dead, and it should go away for a while or whatever. But of course, but everyone's at vacation time is in the same boat. I mean, newspapers, radio stations, everybody's in the same boat. You know, there are people going on vacation.
Starts.
But, you know, we're heading into some really, really interesting waters here. Especially with
CBA issues.
Combine coming up.
I'd love to go to the Combine and check it
so
out.
So Maybe
me and you could go to the Combine and do a show from there.
Well, I'm going. Oh, baby, I'm going. Now, I don't know if you're coming
don't
with me.
Don't eat the hot dogs this time.
I know.
Okay? You're not allowed to anymore.
No. Last year, we did the Combine for the first time, and I thought to myself, well, where was our head for all the other times? What were we thinking not being there? And now that I'm sure that'll be an annual thing.
It's Combine on a Wednesday? Does it take place on a Wednesday?
Yeah.
It's February the 24th to the March 2nd.
Get the show from the Combine.
Okay.
But you know what we could do, too? We could sit in front of the TV and watch the NFL Network. like they promote the general manager stay at home and watch the NFL Network to evaluate the players at the Combine.
Mm-hmm. I've always wondered who would watch that, and now I know. We got to take a break. We'll come back with more Jaguars this week right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Jaguars This Week rolls along here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. We'll go till, what do you want to go, 11 o'clock?
I'll go as long as you want.
Well, Vic,
till I die.
Get some sleep still.
More Vic all the time, ladies and gentlemen. 355-NFL1 if you'd like to join us on the program. Phone lines are stacked, and we've got certainly a lot of players who want to talk about tickets. So, Mike's in Arlington up next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good.
Man, I want to take a swipe at what Vic Hetchman said about, you know, NFL standing for the National Football League, and if you're going to pay big boy games, or you're going to pay big boy prices.
Yeah.
And with that complete attitude, man, I mean – it's kind of smug, and the NFL is going to stand for not for long in Jacksonville with that kind of attitude. That's the thing that's ticking holders like me off of you know, we're out there, we're supporting it, we're doing it, we're working extra overtime and two jobs to pay for tickets and prices and everything else, doing what we can, but it feels like we get slapped in the face.
Well, Dom, here's the problem.
Mike,
here's the problem. You're playing against teams that are charging a certain price, which is the revenue with which they pay their players, they acquire their players. How are you going to compete against those teams if you don't acquire the same amount of revenue? That's what I thought.
I understand that, and I'm hip with that.
Well, I don't think you are. I don't think you are, Mike. I think you want a Tiffany product at Walmart prices, and that won't work.
No, that's not what I want. What I want is a good product at a decent price, a good value. And we get it with the Jaguars. I'm not complaining about ticket prices. I'm not complaining about concessions and everything else. I'm complaining about attitude, dude. I'm complaining about smugness. I'm complaining about the caller from McLean, the young lady from McLean, when she said, you know, Jacksonville felt like we were a part of it. And we feel like the redheaded stepchild.
Why? Why do you feel like the red?
We're not showing up enough. We're not doing this enough. Hell, they want to take the team to L.A. Dude, L.A. has lost two teams already.
Mike, no one is saying they want to take the team to L.A. Wayne Weaver has said repeatedly, the team is not for sale. But the fans have said repeatedly, we're not buying your tickets. And that combination doesn't work, Mike. The tickets have got to be bought. This league is not built on empty seats.
The league is built on nothing more than marketing.
Oh, that's
Am I wrong?
Nah, it's not. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always somebody else gets the blame. The coach stinks. The quarterback stinks. The marketing stinks. When do the tickets get bought, Mike?
We got to tone Vic down. Okay, we don't want Vic to get wound up. Vic, take it easy. Take it easy.
Someone's worried about your blood pressure.
Hey, Mike, we're with you. Okay, and just hey, you're a fan of the team, right, Mike?
Say again.
You're a fan of the team, right?
I'm a huge fan of the team.
That's a good thing. Need more people like Mike. Okay, easy, Vic.
We have a really strange dynamic.
Are you okay?
I'm just making sure you're okay.
I'm fine.
It wasn't many days ago you had a heart attack.
Hey.
Now take it easy. Take it easy.
355-NFL1. 355-6351. Mike is gone. Tom is in his place from Keystone. Hello, Tom.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Be very careful where you tread.
I'm surprised. You've got people calling in that are giving you their heartfelt opinions, and you're trying to tell them why their opinions are wrong. Their opinions are their opinions. It's the way they feel.
I don't have a problem with anybody's opinion.
What a sissy you have turned into tonight.
Here's where I'm coming from. I really want to love this team. But when I'm sitting there watching the game and we're down 21 points and some guy catches a 10-yard pass and jumps up and pounds his chest and makes a big show of himself, I get really ticked off. It's a team game.
So
that guy caught a pass, through it. You got a left tackle that kept the end off the quarterback, and you got one guy showboating. And you got some guy throw the ball up in the stands. Kick his butt. He's just hurt the team. Give us something we can be proud of.
Who
that's
that?
Team-oriented.
Well, let me tell you this,
Who
Tom.
Who did that? I don't recall anybody
doing anything like that when this team was down 21-0. I will tell you this, Tom. This was one of the most enjoyable teams to watch that I have ever watched in the franchise's existence. There was no showboating. Look at me, like you see with a lot of other teams. To me, this team was a joy. When the rookie class, which a lot of times rookies come in and they make a play, they're so excited they make a play, the first thing they want to do is to let everybody know they made a play. Did we see that?
They're the least the fewest penalties in the league.
I mean, to me, Tom, this was a team that, as far as you saying what you don't like, you didn't see it.
That's right.
Out of this team.
This is the team for you, Tom.
Absolutely. Am I wrong? I mean, did you see a lot of those things out of this team this year?
This is the most gentlemanly team I have covered in 38 years.
here's something you might want to think about. Okay, you've had a bunch of callers calling in, and they're giving you their opinions, and you got people calling in that love the team and want to have something they can keep going to, and they want other people to join.
And, Tom, I'm giving you my opinion.
But instead of listening to what they're saying, you're wanting to justify a different opinion.
Well, hold on a sec, Tom. You just said that your opinion was that you didn't like the showboating after commonplace plays, and these two guys just told you that you didn't see it.
Give us an
that's
example.
Not opinion. That's fact.
Give us an example.
Tom?
That's enough.
I think Tom hung up.
Well.
You know, I mean, here's what we got. We got postseason 7-9 bitching. That's what we got. We got postseason, I want to kill everyone. March them up in front of me because I'm going to mow them down. That's what we got. We got the classic, you lost the last four games and didn't make the playoffs and I'm unhappy. That's what we got. Hey, you know, let's make sure that we whine and cry. What did you think you had going into the season? Did you take a look at the roster? The roster that ended the season with 33 new faces on it and Jeremy Navarre at right defensive end. I mean, come on. We have to have more savvy about this than to think this team. You want to go back to New England? I'll tell you what. Let's go back to New England this week. Is there anything left to do there? You want to go back to New England this week?
Sure.
Do you have any reason for any expectation for a better result?
Wes Welker's
no, but I'd like to find out.
I don't.
I would.
I think I know what we have. We have a team that was in rebuilding. It got better.
But it wouldn't be a bad thing to be going back to New England.
It went from 5-11 to 7-9, and the coach said on Monday the expectation for next season is to make the postseason, make it into the playoffs. I really don't know what more you could ask for. He basically set the alarm clock, folks. He pulled the stem on himself, if you know what I mean.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
He set the clock.
He basically said, here's the expectation, and if I don't equal it, I pretty much know what's going to happen.
He did that.
Am I wrong?
No, I mean, that's...
Is that a kind of forthright and manly thing to do?
He set a goal, and a goal that he says he expects to achieve.
That's right. Therefore, if he does not meet expectations, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. What do you think?
I think you know what's going to happen, and I think he knows what's going to happen. Because this is a league where you either meet expectations or you're gone. He basically did a very, very manly thing on Monday. He could have dodged it. It wasn't even a question.
Nope.
It wasn't even a question. He volunteered it.
Out there.
He could have dodged that whole thing, and you know, and we've got more work to do, and our goal is in. You know.
I bet you Vito would have brought him back to it.
Vito wasn't there.
Oh, there you go. 355 NFL.
Really?
We want to take a quick call at the bottom of the hour. All right. Keith is in Middleburg, and we will grab him and then take news. Hello, Keith.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, I had a question. In the past, I know they had events for season ticket holders and people that wanted to buy season tickets. And you could come to the stadium and sit in seats before you bought them. I was wondering if they were going to do that in the future.
Yes.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
At what point will they do that? Once what? Once the renewal process is completed on the current season ticket holders, April, May, so look somewhere around the draft, then Keith, they will have that event.
If there's any left after this Team Teal.
I've never seen it, 38 years, I've never seen it done anywhere else. I have never seen fans led around a building.
Saying, pick your seat.
And saying, here, which seat do you want?
Well, and then what they do is they mark them so that people can go and look at all the ones that are available.
I mean, that's not marketing. Yeah. Here, give me your hand. Come on. Let's go take a look at the seats.
You're kind of fired up for being...
This is getting a little weenie, you know?
It's great to have you back, Vic. We'll take a break for news at the bottom of the hour and keep rolling along with your calls, your questions. I wouldn't bring the complaints tonight, folks. I just don't think it's going to do any good.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Here we go. 1/2 hour of Jaguars This Week left to broadcast this evening. You can join us, well, as soon as we clear the lines. 355-NFL-1, 355-635-1, of course, 800-355-NFL-1. The call is free to you. Lloyd is in Riverside. First up. Hello, Lloyd. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I have more of a comment than a question.
That's generally
I want to first by start saying, as a fan, I respect everyone's opinion as long as they're a fan. But I'm a little disappointed. You know, I want to make this as quick as possible. I don't want to go too far. But of the tens of hundreds of thousands metropolitan cities in the United States, 32 of them carry a franchise. And I don't understand why do we have to market the NFL? I mean, this is the highest level of competition, the best athletes in the country. I don't understand the whole marketing point.
That's a fastball right down the plate to you, Vic.
That's really all I really want to say. Yeah. I'm just a little disappointed tonight in some of the callers.
Let me tell you what marketing is. Marketing is a metaphor for get business to buy the tickets. All right, that's what it is. You know, that word is being thrown around improperly. That's what people want. They want business to pick up the tab, which is. I don't know if we can say business picked up the tab, but they were certainly involved in this Indianapolis.
Yeah, there were a lot of local businesses that bought tickets.
Yes. And then they passed them on to their employees.
Yeah. And in some case, they subsidized them.
Right. So I think that's what people mean when they say marketing, because they can't possibly mean the sale of the product, because the Jaguars are just
there's no one.
Is there any team in the league that has more prices?
Or packages.
Yeah, exactly. Go find me another team in the league that'll give you a 3-game package
and let you pick the games.
Yeah, it's extraordinary marketing. So I think in this case, what most people mean when they say marketing is get business to pick up the tab.
Does that cover it, Lloyd?
That's it, guys. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call,
Lloyd.
Appreciate
your phone call. 355-NFL-1. How about some football to Asheville, North Carolina, where Ron is standing by. Hello, Ron. What's the temperature up there in Asheville?
It's a lot colder than what it normally is, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. We're saying the same thing.
Yeah. I was listening to the great show that Vic Ketchman had with Gene Smith, and also listened to Jack Del Rio show with you, Brian. And I picked up a couple things out of those conversations, and I just wanted to ask you guys what you thought after listening to the Jack Del Rio and Gene Smith. They both had a common. They both basically said the same thing, that number one priority going into this off season is to strengthen the pass rush. That the 14 sacks is pretty pathetic, and there's absolutely no pressure on the quarterback. And they talked a lot about, you know, you asked Brian, you asked the coach about a lot of players, and you made comments as to, you know, Terrence Knighton being a perfect nose tackle and Derek Harvey being a guy that's stout against the run, and a few other comments about the defense. And it sounded to me, and putting together what Gene Smith said on Monday night about the draft, that there's a lot of tweeners in this draft. Are they, it sounds to me like they're leaning towards trying to go with a 3-4 as opposed to the 4-3.
No, I didn't get any of that.
No, I got the opposite on that. I think they're going to be leaning towards a 4-3.
This is a very good draft. The one that's coming up next April is a very good draft for defensive linemen. That's what Gene said on Jaguars Monday show. It is really loaded with, and depending on what the underclass crop looks like, and we don't know exactly, you know, who's going to be in that yet. It could get even stronger. You start with the kid from Nebraska, Sue.
Ndamukong Sue.
Yeah, I can't say the first name. What is it, Ndamukong?
Ndamukong
Sue, who is out of this world. And then you go, you stir in a bunch of other guys. Jared Audrick, defensive end, really good-looking player.
It's the kid from UCLA that just Brian Price.
Yeah, and then the guy from Oklahoma.
Gerald McCoy.
I mean, this is a great-looking draft for big guys, especially on defense. It wouldn't surprise me if the Jaguars picked 2-3 guys from up front. That's how deep it is. Now, the problem is they don't have a second-round pick. That's the fly in the ointment. But of course, you got your grease on that. Yeah, that's right. You got your grease on that with Derek Cox a year early. You made your second round pick a year early, and it was a good second round pick. But I know Gene Smith wants to get that second round pick back, or get a second round pick back. I asked him that Monday. He confirmed it. He said yes. How could you do that? Well, you're going to have a pick of 10 or 11. There are some handsome looking quarterbacks, difference makers, you know, in this draft. It could get you a chance to move down and get a second round pick. There will be teams that will have multiple first round picks. Denver, for example, has more than one first round pick. So, you know, let's hang on. We got a long way to go. We're not even near the Senior Bowl yet. But this team is the first thing Gene Smith is going to want to do when he is able to do it is add more draft picks.
And they're going to add to that defense as soon as they can.
As soon as they can.
And I'm talking about in free agency. And it may not be a top-tier free agency guy
yes.
because it looks like that's not going to be
it's
really
just not
a yet. Market anyway. But, you know, the one thing that Gene did last year, if you go back to what he did in the offseason last year, you ended up letting the left tackle go, right? Okay.
Khalif Barnes.
Right. What did you do?
Drafted two more.
Signed Trey Thomas. Mm-hmm. Before the draft.
Oh, before.
Now.
Okay.
Okay. You let Gerald Sensabaugh go. What did you do in free agency? You signed Sean Considine.
Right.
He's got a great philosophy, and I think it's the right philosophy, in that you fill holes in free agency. Not expensive free agency, but in free agency. And what that does is it allows you to pick BAP, or mm-hmm. as what I said when I got the honor of filling Vic's keyboard for one Ask Jeff, LLTF, least likely to fail. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I thought this stood for something else. Anyhow, if
what are you thinking that it stood for?
If the Claiborne guy, the defensive lineman from Iowa, who's an underclassman, decides to come out, oh, does this defensive line crop get strong? I mean, you would want to start getting as many picks as you could. You know, maybe trading futures to get back to get more picks into this draft because this team has a critical need on their defensive line, and this is a great draft for defensive linemen.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. We'll grab Steve out at the beach. Busy night from the beach. Hello, Steve.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon. I'm going to have to rattle Vic's cage as well. I'm so far online with Vic, it's a crying shame. I've been a season ticket holder for 10 years, ever since inaugural season. The only year I missed was this year because of time served with the service. And I'm already on the way back and getting my tickets again. What is going on with everybody thinking that we're supposed to just come out of the gate and win? I don't understand it. I mean, and then on top of that, everybody wants people to buy tickets the same way it is with this Obama clan, wanted everybody to buy tickets and give them to them. If you want a ticket, damn it, work for it. If you want to succeed, work for life.
Oh, I'm with this guy. I'm all with him. This is an honorable man.
He's a Republican now.
I don't like that part about him.
No, look, I'm on the side of independent because
there
my thing is I don't care who's in service. I don't care who's in office. My thing is make people work for what the hell they want. I'm sorry, can I say hell?
Just buy the damn ticket.
Just
exactly. Just buy a freaking ticket. If you want somebody to win, buy a ticket. If a guy's in the end zone and want to get his team hyped up, that's the problem. We've got too many people that are not and have not ever been an athlete, and what their problem is they always want to be a wannabe. And then you got from that portion of the wannabes to the guys and girls that want to complain about what is going on, but they never want to do anything to do something to change it. Everybody want to be rich. Nobody wants to do what it takes to get there. Everybody want to go to heaven, but a lot of you clowns are afraid to die.
Well, I don't want to do what it takes to get there.
Steve, would you please promise to call again?
I love this guy.
Guys,
you got it. You got to call again. Boy, we heard the word hell, the word damn, and the word freaking in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
The FCC is calling.
We're not
next.
Going to heaven. That call is not going to heaven.
He had the line of the night. I'll let y'all figure out what it was.
We're getting edgy on this show. One more segment, folks.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
All right, to say the least, this has been an unusual evening, and we're glad that you're with us. Mm-hmm. You in particular. It's nice to have you back. Mm-hmm. Brian Sexton, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, 355-NFL-1. If you want to squeeze in here in the last 8 minutes of the program, Melissa is in Mandarin. Hello, Melissa. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. I just wanted to tell you a little bit of the difference, I think, between fans like up north and fans down here. Because I grew up in Syracuse, and, you know, we don't have a football team, but we have a university. So when SU plays, our entire city shuts down. We get posters in every store. You get badges to wear for the whole day. You can't even take a city bus because they all lead to the dome. And the whole city is behind the team. And I think down here, people are so quick to criticize the Jaguars, they didn't get that, they didn't get the yardage for the next down, or Garrard did this, or our line did that, but they aren't behind the team. And I think if you're not going to be behind the team and give it 100%, I don't think you get to complain. And I think that's the big difference.
Nothing wrong with that opinion at all.
And it just makes a difference. I mean, we don't have a whole city behind the team, and I think we need to do that.
Well, there's something about the notion of paying men to play football that I have perceived rubs this town a little, that chafes this town a little. I think that's from so much college football, or only college football. The idea of a guy getting $10 million a year to play football is abrasive to a lot of the fans, football fans in this town. Therefore, if we're going to pay you, and they do believe they are paying the $10 million, then you are going to win
or be
else.
Gone.
Right. And I that's the part of the professional football mindset and experience that hasn't sunk completely in yet. No. You pay $10 million, there's no guarantee. All right?
It's part of the fun.
You've got to be smart enough to pay $10 million to the right guy.
That's the key. That's
everybody gets gotten burned, by the way.
We expect our awesome college players to move into the next level. So there's an expectation there, but I think people need to step back and say, well, we've been here 15 years, not 50 years like the Bills. You know, and I think people need to give the team a chance to become part of the community.
Well, everything you're saying will become fact with time. As time marches on, the traditions grow, the experiences increase, the generations pass it on down to generation, et cetera, et cetera.
Appreciate the
It'll happen. It'll all happen.
Appreciate the phone call, Melissa. Thanks for contributing tonight. Steve is in Julington Creek. Hello, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, Brian?
Doing a very entertaining show this evening.
Yeah, I can tell, man. Hey, I got to get this off my chest. I've been a season. I'm like Vic, man. I'm about ready to bust.
Careful now, that got him in the hospital.
I like this kind of guy.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to have to send the ambulance after me because I'm about ready to have a heart attack myself. I've been a season ticket holder since day one, and all I know is that they have done everything in the world to accommodate me. And I have had, all the extras that you get with being a season ticket holder, I just don't understand why these people are complaining so bad. If, you know, when we first went to the playoffs, I needed extra tickets. I started out with two tickets. And, you know, I had two sons. One of them went on 1 week. Another went on the next week. And then my wife went every once in a while whenever she felt like going. But, you know, when we went to the playoffs and I needed extra tickets, I made a phone call. Boom. I had tickets just like that. There was no problems. whatsoever. Now my son's older. I got one son that's in college. The other one, you know, he's been a season ticket holder now for like 9 years. My other son, when he gets out of college, he's going to be a season ticket holder. They have done nothing but just be accommodating. I just don't know what else these guys can do to get people to come to the games. I swear I don't. I'm about ready to lose it.
Steve, you know, the one thing, though, that this franchise needs, and I'm a big believer in this, you raised your kids at the Jaguars games.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Those are the future of the people filling this stadium. You know, I mean, that's what teams need to have. Teams need to have time to where people grow up with a team. That's the only team they know. That's their team.
I agree.
And it's going to happen.
I know. I hope so, Jeff, because I've got all my nephews, every year for Christmas, they got Jaguar gear. And I've got one, my sister's getting ready, her husband's getting ready to retire. They're moving from Columbus down here. And Brendan was sitting there going, Uncle Steven, I can't believe it. Are the Jaguars leaving? He says, because when Dad and Mom moved down here, I want to be a Jaguar fan. And I'm going, you know, Brendan, I don't know what to tell you, son. I hope that they are still here. But the way these fans act sometimes, if I was Wayne Weaver, I'd pass.
I just hope all the talk, you know, of L.A. and all that doesn't make people fearful of latching on.
There's a concern there that people will start to feel like they are wasting their money on a team that isn't going to be around. And that has to be guarded against. And that's why Wayne Weaver has said repeatedly, and you have to hear the message. The message is repeatedly, the team is not for sale. That's the message. I am just a bearer of the message. And that has been the message, and it has been consistent.
And if this Team Teal effort goes off the way that they think it will, hopefully that will stave that off as well. Don't forget, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, the Bud Zone. Mr. Weaver will be there. Mayor Payton will be there. Gene Smith will talk. Tony Buscelli will talk. And you will find out how you can be a part of the Jaguars' efforts to sink the roots in deep here in 2010.
And don't call and next beyond. Week and complain about the beer prices.
Yeah, right. It's $2, folks. Loggy's all excited about that.
What, for Tuesday night, it's $2?
Yeah. $2.
Wow.
$2 Tuesday night.
Well, maybe you should come join me for a special edition of the Coach's Show.
I can't drink
since
beer
it's just
going to
be me. I didn't think so.
How about did they got a red wine night?
No, Vic.
$2 red wine?
It's too
with
soon.
With an aspirin?
Vic, you just had a heart attack. Water, cranberry juice.
No. I was told I can drink red wine with an aspirin.
Increases platelet production.
Thins
the blood, stimulates. Oh, I'm drinking, baby.
Now, are you drinking the good stuff, or are you drinking that stuff in the box?
He's drinking Boone's Farm with a screw-off.
No.
We're going to get you involved in some really good wine next. All right, everybody, thanks for an unusual show, to say the least.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.